Amen. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Amir. Thank you, Mum, for those readings. Good morning, everybody. It is lovely to see you all. So this morning, we return to Peter's first letter to the believers in the first century. And this passage continues on from what Abby shared with us a few weeks ago. It's not floating in the air, it's in the context of a document. And you remember that she shared with us, don't give in to hate, don't give in to fear, love wins. Slightly tempted to leave it there because that about said it, but we'll have a closer look at these verses. Can I just clarify? There were some questions, I think, when I spoke earlier as to John's role. Some people thought that he was perhaps my bodyguard, sat here just watching over things. Can I clarify that he is actually guarding the word? He is assessing the word and making sure it's up to standard. So just so you all know what's going on. Anyway, let's press on. In these verses, Peter sets the essay title to the class of AD 60. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Discuss. So that is in for next Sunday. 500 words, please. I think we could have it on the screen. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? So wouldn't you expect, if you're doing good, you're doing what is right, you're following God's way, that you will avoid suffering? This remains a big question for people of faith and of none. Why is there suffering? And particularly in this context, why do Christians suffer? The recipients of Peter's letter have been subject to malicious talk or slander and general ill feeling from their neighbours. An overall hostile environment. They were concerned about the general direction this ill feeling was going. They were hearing rumours, accounts from other locations of violence and of persecution. The class of AD 60 might well be concerned about the choices they were making and its consequences and their safety. Yet Peter encourages them not to lock themselves away and to hide their faith or retreat from the wider community, but to keep on doing good. Three times in these five verses, he mentions doing good. He mentions it, verse 13, eager to do what is good. He mentions it in verse 16, about your good behaviour. He mentions it in verse 17, suffer for doing good. He urges them that their faith, despite everything, remain active, visible, not passive or restricted by fear, to be living a life of love. The message is clear. Keep on doing good. In many cases, spring 2020 has afforded us more opportunities to demonstrate compassion and kindness, even if only by text or a phone call or concern for a neighbour. Earlier in this chapter, Peter commends being tender-hearted, showing sympathy, repaying whatever comes your way with a blessing. We may not know in these times the difference reaching out can make, but this is the touchstone for a way of life God has called us to. Last week, do you remember we were in Acts 2, where Peter, our author this morning, was very much present, and we read, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We don't know who's watching and the effect selfless, consistent love can have. Peter had seen this with his own eyes, and he's encouraging these communities to do the same, even in difficult circumstances or with hostile neighbours. Be encouraged. Keep on doing good. It matters to reach out, to be active. It really counts. So back to Peter's question. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? He follows this up with, even if you do suffer for what is right, you are blessed. We hear echoes to the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you, in Matthew 5. You are honoured. Today, in this nation, our suffering, our concerns may not be the same as those early Christians. We hopefully don't feel threatened. This passage will have a very different emphasis in areas of our world today that you may know about, or that the organisation Open Doors can open our minds and hearts to. Our choices may be laughed at or mocked. As our worries and concerns are different to the believers in Asia Minor, so my concerns will be different to yours, particularly those things occupy our minds in the small hours of the night. Yet none of them are any less real. Our fears are very personal about our health, our family, perhaps our future, our finances, the direction that our life is taking. To be clear, just because your situation is hard, or you have been through or are going through tough times, doesn't mean God's blessing has been removed from you. It has not been furloughed at this time. God's blessing remains. Verse 17 from this passage says, it is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Here is the key. Christ Jesus sacrificed his life for us, so that we would know him and have a way to God the Father. We will share in remembering that sacrifice shortly. Our fears are real and all our concerns, but we don't need to fear what the faithless fear, as we can bring all our concerns to our Heavenly Father and place our hope in Him. God is worthy of our hope, and nothing can separate us from His love. Let's have that up on the screen. Reminder to keep on doing good, but to always hope. When we suffer and endure hardship, we have a Saviour and a Heavenly Father familiar with the pain, who walks with us and never leaves us. Even when you can't see the way forward, or your fears feel overwhelming, keep hoping in the Lord. He's got this. If you need prayer or someone to talk to, we are here. Don't be isolated. There is always hope. There are a number of key verses in Scripture that as Christians, we ought to have a grasp of. John 3:16, I'm sure a lot of you could say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Then John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Then love as I have loved you. Then all the message of the Gospels is brought together in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Yet, what do we do? How do we do that? What does it look like? Of course, imitating Jesus in everything is a strong starting point. Yet, how many sermons have been delivered? How many courses written? How many books written? All on this subject, trying to identify for each generation and in every culture, what does this look like? And how do we do this? Peter, here, from his vast experience, shows us clearly the effective way. Verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason you have, for the reason for the hope you have. I think I'll read that again. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope you have. So, we're doing good. We're living generously, openly, despite our circumstances and whatever we face, we're showing hope. Friends, family, neighbours are watching. Whether that's closely or almost subconsciously, they see how we react. They hear our conversations. They see our decisions and our responses. Especially when life is hard. They're interested. How do we handle things? They wonder, even just privately without saying this, how real this faith is to us. Through the difficulties that I've been through, I have been asked this question. Not, unfortunately, in these words or format, more as rhetorical statements. And normally, at the end of a conversation or meeting, part of saying goodbye as they're walking away, getting out of the car, going out of the door. And I've had things said like, I don't know how you've done it. You've been amazing. I don't know how you've got through this. Occasionally, but rarely, direct, and this from an unbeliever, I think your God has let you down. And I have been ready with my answer and missed the opportunity in equal measure. I have said, I've only done it through my faith in God and prayers of the faithful. That's you. And I've missed it. I have waited for the follow-up question or hesitated and the moment was gone and the person was gone. But Peter encourages us to always be ready to answer. Keep on doing good, always hope, always be ready to answer. Trust me, the question will rarely be as clear as we have it here in 1 Peter. Can you give me a reason for the hope you have? We will rarely get that simple question. And it may take numerous forms, but let's be ready to sow a seed of hope. It is up to the Holy Spirit what happens with our response. But our part is to respond with the reason for our hope. Practice helps. And we need to daily ask the Holy Spirit for these opportunities which will help us to be ready to say something. If we are looking and waiting, we will be ready more than we miss. So to summarise, can we have that on the screen? Keep on doing good, even as you are doing right now. Live generous, open lives. It really counts. It is seen. Always hope. Hand over all your fears that come your way. Don't spend time with them. Don't spend time on them. Romans 5, Paul says, hope does not put us to shame. And always be ready to answer. Look for opportunities to glorify God, for he is worthy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to save us so that our hope, our joy is in you. And Lord, we bring before you our fears, our worries, our concerns, some of them that we hand over daily, and we hand them over again to you, and we ask for you to replace them with hope in you, for you are worthy. And Lord, I pray that we will be useful in your kingdom, that we can sow seeds, that we can be a good witness for you, ready to share that hope. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.